we'll have our morning scripture. It comes from 1 John, 1st chapter, verses 1 through 5. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declared to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these words so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and him, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Big voice. Blessings, grace, and peace to each and every one of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. On this day, Lord, where we remember, we also praise and glorify you, because in your word you say we stand on the shoulders of those great clouds of witnesses. And so as those individuals who indeed and in fact stand on the shoulders of those who have gone on before, open our eyes, open our ears, and most of all, Lord, open our spirits to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 15 years ago, September the 11th, I was in a little town on the Arkansas border of Missouri, Theodosia. How many of you? Yay! Okay. We actually have a Methodist church there. And I was there representing the Missouri Conference, and they at that time were having some major issues with undocumented workers. With undocumented workers and people moving into the community that didn't look like everybody else that lived in the community. And part of my responsibility at that time as a part of conference staff was to work through some workshops. As a matter of fact, I was at the high school, and the high school was in the town was trying to work through how do we work with young people who are Spanish speaking, and there was just some major cultural differences of which the town was having a very difficult time trying to figure out how to work with Hispanic children and how to work with children of color. And I at that time was doing a workshop on the gift of diversity. You know, that diversity is not bad because in God's economy, in God's way of being in the world, difference was God's idea. And as they were kind of crowding into the auditorium and we were doing some things, we got the message. How I think appropriate today, and my workshop was really based upon relationship. You know, many times we have this preconceived notion of who people are without really getting to know them. We hear about people through whispers and innuendo and what we've heard and maybe even what we've grown up with. But on that day, in this culture and in this country, things changed. They changed in a way that still affects us to this day. It took me 15 hours because they were running the bank. You know, people were trying to get to their bank to get money. There were lines, long lines of people trying to get gas and all those kinds of things. And it was a scary time. Well, in today's lesson, 1 John, not the gospel, but 1 John, it was some scary times for Christian believers. It was scary because, as we know, Jesus Christ had, the resurrected Jesus had gone on before, and scholars and theologians argue about who actually wrote this book. But one of the things that we do know about this book, very much like this culture, is that this is a book of witness and watchfulness. Witness and watchfulness. And so John, the writer of this particular book, he now explains, and it's a letter. I mean, there was a time in our country, in our culture, amen, where we just couldn't wait till the mailman showed up. For my young ones, you know, long time ago. But we wait for the mailman because anything, you know, anything that came through the mail that gave us more information or connected us with loved ones was very, very, very welcomed. But John, in this letter to these Christian believers, and this is considered a general letter as opposed to a letter that is sent specifically to a group of people. It was sent at a time when people were really trying to figure out what is wrong with the world and the people in it. And John, pretty much in the letter today and in the lesson that we heard, just those first five verses, said, the world is made up of people just like you. And if we want the world to be better, and if we want people to do better, then we're going to have to work on our fellowship relationship. And the church, the body of Christ, God's speakers, Jesus' speakers, we are all about fellowship relationships. Now, that's a strange word, but let's hear what my sermon summary has to say about that. So what is fellowship? If you're trying to get your definition of fellowship based on the way that the word is used in most churches today, you would think that it has a great deal to do with drinking coffee and eating desserts. I happen to think that coffee and desserts are great tools, so I'm not getting ready to take away the donuts and the coffee. They're great tools that lead us to fellowship, but it's much deeper than that. The deeper meaning of fellowship has everything to do with fellowship participation, fellowship sharing, fellowship partnership, and fellowship communion. And when I talk about communion, I'm talking about the coming together or the communion of the saints, of God's people. Fellowship is partnering with Christ in making connections between believers and others founded on a relationship with Christ. So fellowship has everything to do with relationship, and everything to do with fellowship is about relationship. I hope you agree with me that relationships are very important. Bill Hybels, and some of you may have read this book, but he has a book out that came out some years ago called Rediscovering the Church. In this book, he talks about fellowship. He talks about witnessing, and he talks about it in reference to this general letter by John in 1 John. This whole idea that fellowship times in congregations revolve around 15 or 20 minutes after or before a service is not what John in 1 John is talking about. Fellowship is life-affirming connections with people. even those people who considered themselves introverts or considered antisocial, lacking social skills, need to be in relationship with other people. I'll repeat that. We must be in relationship with other people. That requires people skills. And so John's letter today is a teaching on biblical social skills. Fellowship is basically the developing and the nurturing of relationships built on Christ. And it's one of the basic tools, the basic disciplines that is offered as a way for us to know how to socialize, for us to socialize and connect in the church. God uses fellowship to help us become more Christ-centered. God uses fellowship to help us become more Christ-like. Because more than in any other entity or institution or relational community, the church is the one place where people of all kinds usually find themselves next to people of whom, if you had to make the choice, let's just be real, if you had to make the choice, some people that we relate to and fellowship with in the life of the church may not necessarily be the people of our choosing. But thank be to God, I'm not the one that makes the choice. Glory to God that God makes the choice and binds us together. It is more than just a bunch of people who say, I am Christian, I am a Christ follower, coming together out of tradition or coming together for a program or for a ministry. Authentic Christian fellowship can only take place and can take place and must take place not only in the church context, but it must take place in any context. So long as the goal is to build up. You see, that's what we do as Christian believers. We build up and we motivate and we inspire and we make connections with people in positive ways, in good times and in bad times, and in times when people may even say they don't want to be bothered or they don't want our help. We must be ever ready with that authentic Christian relationship to be with people. And it is my fervent prayer and my fervent hope as the pastor of this church that we come to understand how important fellowship and connecting is and be ready to act on it, not only here with our buddies and friends or with people in superficial ways, but that we become the fellowshipping, connecting people beyond the walls of the church. In verse 1 of today's lesson, this is what John says in his letter, this general letter to Christian people. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Have you heard anything today that's worth fellowshipping with other people? That which we have heard. What have you heard? What have you known? Whether you've been a part of the church for 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, I think we may have heard some things that on this September the 11th that the world may need to hear, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. What have you seen with your eyes? I have seen things in the life of this faith community and the life of faith communities over the years that I have been a part of the church that literally I know if it was not for the faith community, for this faith community, many, many things that we go to and we go through, we would not have been able to make it through it without the help of God's people. That's a fellowship relationship, which we, and it goes on to say, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. So he's talking about the ear gate and the eye gate. He's talking about things that we touch. How many working hands and hands have been used in the life of this congregation and in the life of God's church to make a positive difference in the world? This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The message says that last part of that verse 1 this way. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. The infinite life of God through the church, through the body of Christ, through the fellowship relationship, that connecting relationship, God takes life and shape before us. That is my prayer as pastor of this church and anywhere I am, is that God takes life and shape before us through God's people. Serving and participating is the mainstay of a fellowship relationship in the body of Christ. John 1:3, which is our memory verse, says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us." You know, it's not just about folks in here. We do what we do so that others may have fellowship with us, so that others may feel welcome and know that God's people and that people are important to God, that you matter to God and you matter to God and I matter to God. It is this whole idea of us not wanting to segregate ourselves and not wanting to get in our little cliques and our little, but we do what we do so that others may also fellowship with us. We do that through serving in the church, and we do that through participating in the church. It is why we are always asking you to participate. It is why we are always asking you to serve, because it is through the serving and the participation that this fellowship relationship that John is talking about, that we become persons who connect with persons through needs and using the resources that God has given us to make the world a better place. When we are in fellowship with one another, and when we are in fellowship in our community, and when we are in fellowship in places where no man or woman has ever gone before. You know, Star Trek is kind of celebrating this little, you know, anniversary at this point in time, 50 years. And it is our job to go out, because in the name of Jesus Christ, there is no final frontier. When we fellowship with one another, it shouts to the world that Jesus is still in the business of changing and repairing lives. It allows people to see that there are people who actually care about their neighbors. It is this fellowship relationship shows that it is people who actually care about their neighbors, encouraging other people toward Christ-likeness. It shows that even when people, sometimes we make people angry at us by omission or commission, we do things and sometimes we don't know what we've done. But in the fellowship relationship of the church, we never, never, ever give up on anyone. Because encouraging people toward Christ-likeness takes work, my brothers and sisters. It takes praying for people and praying with them. And oh my goodness, let's just say ouch. It also takes forgiving them and asking for forgiveness when necessary. And just showing genuine love and concern for someone other than ourselves. And we must understand that this benefit of participation and sharing, this benefit of partnership, this benefit of the communion of the saints and the forgiveness of sins is what this fellowship relationship is all about. You know, we heard the old cliche, oh yeah, I can forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Well, thank be to God that Jesus doesn't think like that. Jesus forgives and Christ forgets. We seek to help persons of all kinds in the name of Jesus Christ because we know that God continues to love us even when we are totally unlovable. An authentic understanding of what fellowship and relationship really means. It results in authentic love for people. You know that you're a part of something bigger than what's going on in the world. Authentic fellowship relationships is exactly where somebody knows your name. And I pray and hope, and I'm always telling people in the life of the church, where is this person and where is that person? And don't wait on the preachers and don't wait on the teachers. If you know somebody is missing in action and you know somebody has a need, reach out and touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because in this letter today, John takes the believer from depending on the physical Jesus, from the physical disciples, which became apostles, to helping us to understand what we learned from Mrs. McLean when she always brings her kids together and young people together. We are all ministers in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what this letter is all about. Fellowship provides an avenue for Christ-like service. The Bible says that fellowship has power to revolutionize lives. You see, I believe that because I've seen it over the years, how fellowship and relationship through the body of Christ and through a faith community has revolutionized people's lives. Masks come off in the church. You know, sometimes I step into a Sunday school room and I go, oh, Jesus. But masks come off. If we're the right kind of community of faith, masks have to come off. Conversations get deep. Hearts get vulnerable. Lives get shared. Accountability gets invited. And tenderness in the name of Jesus flows. People really do become like brothers and sisters. And if you was like my brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes that's not always pretty. You know, people are looking for pretty churches with pretty brother and sisterly love. Come on now, you all, those of you who had more than one sibling, you know that you and your siblings didn't always see eye to eye, but in the end, nothing could change the brotherhood and the sisterhood of people who are brought together under one parent and under this understanding that God is with them. They shoulder each other's burdens. And that's something that few people out there in the world are running to try to do, amen. I don't see many advertisements other than through the body of Christ that says, come and see, come with me. We will share your burdens. We will share your joys. We will be with you in good times and in bad times. No, they're usually trying to tell you how to go away and how to divide and conquer. But in the church, we are invited to share in all times with people. Some of the best ways of doing good deeds are in the context of partnership, fellowship. We are a people of mutual encouragement. A fellowshipping people are committed to mutual encouragement. And fellowship relationship is based on the mutual love of Jesus Christ. A strong fellowship is reflective of the bonds we share with Christ. In many churches, I see this whole legal idea of what the family is supposed to look like and what people are supposed to be and how they're supposed to dress we wind up in turmoil, not pointing to Christ, but pointing to rules and regulations that have nothing to do with relationship or fellowship. fellowship relationships in the body of Christ are mutual in that it is give and it's take. Some things you get and some things you won't. Some things you like and some things you won't. In other words, we continue to learn how to be accountable to one another in the church today. That is a fellowship relationship. Fellowship is not just another word for a gossip session. We don't just come together and pray and then talk about those things of which we are unwilling to go to the individual and talk about. But it is about getting together with people of like interests and interests that may not be like yours, to mutually come to understand that we are all a work in progress. Fellowship is incredibly important. I have not been as intentional as developing fellowship relationships in this church, but the time is now. The time is now for us to develop fellowship relationships that are authentic and that are real. To understand that we must be willing to come together and be together and learn together and worship together and serve together in the name of Jesus Christ, who actually develops our strong relationship. But if we are unwilling to come together or unwilling to participate or unwilling to serve or unwilling to bring your new idea or your best idea, if we are unwilling to give, if we are unwilling to be more and do more in the name of Jesus Christ, then this fellowship relationship that John is talking about, it evades us. And so how do we do that? I'm glad you ask. In verse 3 and verse 4, it says it this way. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship. And then he goes on to say, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Sin is real, but Jesus came to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare it to you. God is light. God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I pray that as we work toward our fall and winter ministries and things that we are doing here in the life of the church, that we work on our fellowship relationship, because I believe in what I have heard and seen, and I declare before you that God is light and there is no darkness. The message says, and there is no sin in him at all. Love one another. Take care of one another. When people are missing in action, look for them. And any way that we can help one another become our good, better, and best selves, may it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say amen.
Amen. Amen.
I make this invitation, first of all. We believe that we make an invitation for people to become a part of this fellowship relationship, this church. Every time we deliver a message, we invite you to do that. And if you know that you've kind of slipped away from the fellowship relationship for whatever reason that is, we were created to be in fellowship and in community with one another. I invite you